Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Safilo Group S.p.A. full year 2005 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roberto Vedovotto, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Good afternoon to everybody, or good morning to the colleagues that are in a conference call from the U.S. First of all, let me thank you very much for connecting to this call. It is a privilege for us to be here and make a few comments with you on 2005 year-end results. I would like to start from the key facts. As you may have seen, sales are up 8.5%, 1,025,300,000 euro, compared to same period 2004, up 8.5%. EBITDA equal to 163 million, up 11%. EBITDA margin improved to 15.9% from 15.5% in 2004. In terms of net income, this 2005 net income was 22.9 million euro, up from 18.9 million in 2004. Net debt down substantially. Net financial position negative for 479 million in 2005, down 328.2 million compared to the same period 2004. In terms of Sosei's retail chain, at the end of 2005, we had operating 55 stores compared to the 41 that we had at the end of 2004. Before turning it to Francesco Tagliapietra, I would like to give you some further information on sales. Net sales, as I said before, were up. I'd like to give you a little bit of breakdown by region. As you have seen, in all different countries in the world, sales were particularly good. 2005, Italy was up 12.2%. Asia Pacific was up 20%. Americas were up 9.1%. The rest of Europe was up 3%, and rest of the world was up 9.1%. The mix of sales in terms of big regions was basically stable, with Italy representing 13.5% of our total sales in 2005. Rest of Europe, 33.1%. Americas, 37.4%. Asia Pacific, 11.7%. And rest of the world, 4.3%. I would like to say that in terms of relative performance in Italy, we have had a very good reception of our collection during 2005. And the growth represents, I think, an important achievement within a specific strategic goal, which was to develop our presence in our major market further after a few years in which things were a little more difficult in Italy. So 2005 really was the turning around point. The driving brands on the Italian market were Armani, Dior, Gucci, and Valentino. And also, at least two of our five house brands, particularly Oxydo and Safilo. Americas confirmed the growth trend which we have had from the beginning of the year in 2005. Canada and Brazil did particularly well. And with reference to our different brands in the U.S., together with the usual suspects, Armani, Dior, and Gucci, the American collections of Kate Spade, Liz Claiborne, and J.Lo did extremely well. Europe was basically stable. We've had some good performance, particularly in countries like Spain and Germany. And again, the names are the same, Armani, Dior, Gucci, and Valentino. Asia, we have been growing substantially in the last 3 years. Again, in 2005, increased revenues of about 20%. And, you know, in Asia, we were particularly satisfied with Australia, plus 8.4%, Japan, plus 11%, Korea, 72.5%, and I don't even mention Philippines and China, which were both up about 100%. In terms of breakdown by product, again, sunglasses did perform extremely well, plus 18.5%. Prescription frames were basically stable, and sport was up slightly, plus 6.4%. Again, in terms of breakdown by brands, licensed brands did perform well in 2005, 12.2%. Our house brands were a little weaker, minus 3.4%, and that's where we want to focus during 2006. On page 6 of the presentation that I hope you're going to be able to see, we have given you some key figures in terms of P&L. Again, net sales were up 8.5%, EBITDA was up 11%, EBIT was up 14.9%, and net income was up 21.2%. Now, all of these numbers were substantially up, so we believe that the performance was an interesting performance. Having said that, I'd like to turn it to Francesco Tagliapietra to take you through in more details on the numbers, and then I'll speak to you about a few other issues / opportunities that we would like to explain. Francesco?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Savotto, and good afternoon to everybody. As you have probably seen in our press release yesterday in the report that you have in this moment in your hands, in the year-end result, we have reported for the most important lines of our profit and loss two numbers. The first one are the adjusted numbers, and the second one are the, in some way, the official one in terms of final number approved by the board. The reason for that is this year, I mean 2005, we had some extraordinary costs directly linked to the IPO. These costs were 10 million euros that we have reclassified above the EBIT and the EBITDA, so they directly impacted in our operating performance, while there are other 19.5 million euros that have been reclassified under financial cost. We have reported the two numbers to permit to all investors and analysts a better comprehension of our real performance in the year. If we want to go through some more detail in the P&L and cash flow, in the P&L, Mr. Vedovot has just explained some more details in terms of sales. If we want to go through the other lines of the P&L, we could say that in terms of gross margin in the year numbers, we have maintained a similar level of profitability compared to 2004. while going through in the commercial cost and the G&A cost, we have saved some money and we have achieved a better performance compared to 2004. In particular, while in the commercial cost and specifically in the marketing expenses, the percentage of this cost over the revenues has been slightly higher than 2004 for the simple reason that these costs are related mainly to the licensed brands, so increasing the mix of sales in the licensed brands, this percentage goes up. But we have been able to save some money in the G&A expenses because, as we already mentioned in the past, and as we have already achieved some results in the past, we are focusing in trying to save as much as cost as possible in all the structures of the group. So at the end, the EBITDA adjusted has achieved in the full year result 163 million euros versus 146.8 million euros of 2004. In terms of financial cost, the poor financial cost have been in 2005 69.3 million euros, equal to 6.8% of the total revenues, versus 69.4, so an equal number in previous year, equal to, in terms of percentage, to 7.3% of the revenues. On top of that, in 2005, we had some, extraordinary costs coming from the revaluation of U.S. dollar. I focus on the fact that we have still a part of our debt that is in U.S. dollar, and based on the fluctuation of the U.S. dollar between the year-end of 2004, in which the level of the U.S. dollar was 1.36, at the end of 2005 it was 1.17, so this fluctuation obviously impacted negatively in our total level of net debt expressed in U.S. dollar. This goes directly in the P&L and has a negative effect of 15.0 million euros. So at the end, the net income of the group, adjusted for the extraordinary cost only related to the IPO, have been 22.9 million versus 18.9 million of 2004. If we go through some more details in the quarterly results and quarterly numbers, you see from the presentation that at level of gross margin, we have slightly decreased the profitability at that level. Before going through these numbers, I would like to focus on one important thing. If you look to the year, the 9 month result that we have here, and you compare to the figures that you have found in the Prospetto Italiano or offering circular, you find a little difference that is coming from a change in one of the most important international accounting gap. So it's IAS 39 that have been approved by the Economic Committee in December. So we were obliged to change this accounting treatment. This difference doesn't have any effect in 2005, so it's very, very little, but it has effect in 2004. The total effect in 2004 is roughly 4 million euros at the level of gross margin. So if you compare the quarterly result, you should take the number that you can find in this presentation because are more comparable with the same accounting standard. Having said that, despite this explanation, we indicate that we slightly decrease the gross profitability. The reason for that is mainly linked to some extraordinary cost due to the fact that, as probably all of you know, we have not renewed the Burberry license in the last quarter of 2005. And so we have made all the necessary accruals for taking into consideration the probable obsolescence of our inventory, or for the part of our inventory that we will not be able to sell during the first semester of this year. Going in some more details, we have recovered this less performance at level of gross margin through a decrease in terms of G&A, because we have saved in the quarter more than 250 basis points in the G&A expenses, while we have had an increase for more or less 5.3% in terms of commercial cost coming directly from marketing expenses. For people that we have met during the roadshow, you surely remember that we have always said that 2004 was a little bit a particular year in terms of seasonality of marketing expenses. So we had in 2004 a huge impact, huge amount of accruals for marketing expenses in the first three quarters, while we recovered what we were not obliged to spend in the fourth one. So in 2004 the percentage of this marketing expenses was exceptionally low. So as you said, that at the end the profitability of the company in the last quarter and in the full year in general speaking is in line on what we said during the roadshow, is close to the 16% that we said at the end of the year. Going in some more details in terms of cash, here we have reported a quite detailed cash flow. You can see that there aren't any particular item that is different from 2004. The only one that I believe we should discuss is this interest and taxes, that is less 15.6 million euros of cash out. The reason of this cash out is because we have already considered in our cash flow for 2005 the exit, the payment of the early redemption cost fee for the bondholders, even if the real payment has been made at the 9th of January of the year. But to be clearer with everybody, we have already included here. In terms of other lines, we have increased the total amount of working capital, but as you can see in the slide number 10, the reason for this increase in working capital is not because we have performed less than 2004, it's only coming from a difference in the effects in the comparison between the 2 years. Here we have reported the numbers of 2005 changed in some way, translated at the same effects of 2004. Taking that number in consideration, you see that in terms of a percentage of working capital, we have improved for 130 basis points compared to 2004. To be fully transparent, consider also that there are more or less 10 million euros of cost linked to the IPO that have been paid in the first 2 months of the year. So the reality is that this improvement should be reduced for these 10 million euros. Slide 11, capital expenditure and free cash flow. Again, the free cash flow has declined from 2004 and versus 2005 for the reason of revaluation of US dollar, as I have just explained. In terms of investment, we have slightly increased this investment. The reason for that has been some more stores for Solstice that we have opened compared to 2004, and some more investment in our factories for the startup of the lean manufacturing, but I expect for this year that we will keep an amount of capital invested that should remain in line with 35 million euros. net debt variation, as you can see that we have dramatically reduced the net debt position. Obviously, the reason for this reduction is mainly linked to the IPO. We have received 294 million euros from the IPO, and in the label of page 12, you can see how we have used this amount mainly to reimburse senior loan and high yield bondholders. Again, I remember that we, the company or the shareholder, Mr. Tabacchi, has not received any amount from this IPO. Again, Mr. Bedovotto, if you want to go ahead with the leverage target.
Thank you, Francesco. Yes, we said at the beginning that we have had a very substantial reduction in terms of debt, and this was Francesco was telling you now. Thanks to this significant reduction of the leverage, Safilo, we believe, is in a position now to renegotiate the senior facilities that are outstanding, and that's what our team is doing at the moment, because we would like to go from a senior loan type of facility to a corporate loan, so having more flexibility also in terms of guarantee package. The targets are to, first of all, strongly reduce the margins, to go substantially down from the 325 basis points that we have at the moment on our senior loan. The average life of these loans will remain similar, about 5 years. And our idea is to refinance the outstanding senior loan and have also a revolving credit facility for general purposes. We are not going to call the remaining portion of the high-yield bond before May the 5th, 2008, because we've done the numbers and we think that it is not a good idea for the company and for the shareholders. The cost would be around 34 million euro plus about 8 million of acceleration in terms of amortized cost. As of today, the average cost of our debt is about 7.4%, and we expect that cost will be reduced to 6.5% in the second half of 2006. And by the time we will have called the remaining portion of the high yield, we think that the credit spread will, the cost of the debt will basically decrease about 200 basis points. At the moment, we are holding a beauty contest with a number of Italian and international banks. They appear to be very interested in lending money to our company, and we believe that we will complete the process before the end of June this year, and we hope to be able to do it even quicker. Now, I would like to talk to you a little bit about Polo Ralph Lauren. First of all, let me fully explain to you what happened on this license agreement, because I think a lot has been said, a lot has been written, but I would like to give you the real story, finally. The real story is that, as I mentioned to you during the roadshow, I was confident to renew the license agreement because on Polo Ralph Lauren side, we had no sign of any intention to go from us to any of other competitors. Nothing in writing, nothing in wording that was ever said to us in which, they were saying that they were going somewhere else. When the famous article on the Financial Times came out, the day I started my roadshow in London, I called them and they said, we don't want to confirm anything, there is nothing there. So, we were confident that we would have renewed. After the IPO was done, we started to have discussion on the renewal of the license agreement. When the time came around the middle of February for us to go to New York and get approval for 2006 October sunglasses release, I decided that we wanted to understand exactly what the position of Paul Ralph Lauren was towards the renewal of this license agreement. So I called up Roger Farrar, President and Chief Operating Officer of Paul Ralph Lauren, and I said, Roger, before sending, you know, the designer to New York, to your team, I think I want to know exactly what your position is towards the renewal of this license agreement, because the last thing I want to do is to get approval for style design collections that will probably or eventually be sold by a competitor of ours after 2 months we start the production. So we met in New York, and Roger said very clearly that he had received an extremely aggressive proposal from one of our competitors, which was an extremely good deal for them, and which encompassed the fact that they were going to pay $200 million of prepaid royalty guaranteed upfront January 1st, 2007. I told him very clearly that we never paid prepaid minimum guaranteed royalty to anybody, and it was not our intention to do it starting that day with Paul Ralph Lauren. And that was basically the end of our conversation. So I came back, and as you have seen, we announced the fact that we did not renew this license agreement with Paul Ralph Lauren. Is not part of our strategy to prepay money. We don't think we need to do so, unfortunately, and we will not do so for any brands that had interest in working with us, or for any brands that we have interest to work for. With that said, Paul Ralph Lauren license, as you remember, is composed by 5 main sub-brands with different positioning and different consumer targets: Polo Jeans, Polo Sport, Chaps, Ralph, and Ralph Lauren. I think you understood by now that most of the sales were concentrated in the U.S., about 70% of sales were in the U.S. And as we said previously, the Polo Ralph Lauren license agreement was generating about 10% revenues for our group. The average brand profitability of this specific brand was about 200 basis points lower than the average for Safilo Group. In terms of what is going to happen for 2006 for Paul Ralph Lauren, let me be very clear about it. Having understood at the end of February that we will not renew the license agreement, we believe that we're going to have about at least, actually, 60 million euros of revenues from Paul Ralph Lauren this year, 2006, so basically down about 40 million. And that is mainly because customers are a little more reluctant to buy from us if they know that somebody else will do it in a few months' time, and also they like to possibly, where it is contemplated by contracts that we have in place, they like to, you know, to return some of the products. I believe that between 10 and 12 million euros of extraordinary expenses, which will be again generated by returns, scraps, and probably some costs that we'll have to do with some of the sales force, can be expected in 2006 with a reference to the Polo Ralph Lauren license agreement. I also wanted to give you a little bit of an update on the lean manufacturing project that we talked about during roadshow. First of all, the 23 million savings in 2 years, 2006-2007, are confirmed. I must say that in the last month, customer requests of products specifically and completely made in Italy have increased more than expected because of the huge success of our collections. We really wanted to deliver on the most fundamental step of this lean manufacturing, which was closing down the three plants which were completely inefficient and where costs were extremely high, even if we had a lot of demand, and we were realizing that we were going to have a lot of demand. So we really closed Calalzo, Coseano, and Ronquis. Now, in order not to penalize more than what we should the customer service in terms of serving the request, the implementation of the new production system will be slightly delayed, but in any case completed. I think the last point I want to touch on is the stock option plan for the management. Again, let me tell you the real story finally. I want to be very specific about this because I think it's important for you as my shareholder to know exactly where we stand. This company has had about 4 years ago, a little more than 4 years ago, a very important family buyout done by one of the shareholders and his family, which transformed this company from being a company which was growing and very solid from a financial point of view, capital structure, into a company that was a typical leverage buyout with a very high level of leverage, so much more risky and, you know, much more challenging. In order to retain senior management and to involve senior management into the leverage buyout and into the resolution of that leverage buyout, which was always foreseen being an IPO, we did a stock option plan. During the IPO in December 2005, which marked actually the end of this financial pressure for the group and the conclusion, positive conclusion of the family buyout on the tobacco side, the reward was to accelerate the IPO, the stock option plan, and to let the management sell 50% of the plan. This was done in agreement with the global coordinators. And what happened was that senior management exercised 50% of their options according to the terms of the plan. The remaining 50% will be available for sale at the end of the lockup period. That, as you know, is June the 7th, 2006. On this one, I feel like I want to be extremely clear and specific. I have still 1,134,248 shares, which, considering where the price of the stock is trading, I will not sell. That means that I will invest into this company as of June the 7th, 3.7 million of euro. I hope this will demonstrate how much I believe into the future of this company. On top of that, I also would like to mention to all of you that a new long-term incentive plan, which we had mentioned during the roadshow, again, to motivate and retain senior management for the next 3 to 5 years, is currently under review and will be discussed and approved by board of directors before the end of June 2006. I think that we are done with the presentation. I believe that we will have some questions, and therefore, Sherry, I hope you're still on the line as the coordinator of this call. I think we are now ready to take questions that our investors may have. One recommendation that I would like to do is if each of you that have questions can ask a maximum of 2 questions, that will probably allow everybody to get some answers. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'm here with Mr. Tagliapietra to listen to all the questions you may have.
Thank you. Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Mr. Stefano Corneliani. from Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon to everybody. Sorry for my voice. I have two initial questions. The first one is about the current trading during the first quarter of this year. If you could spend a few words on this, because we understood you got some problem in production. And the second question about the benefits from your lean manufacturing project this year, because if I'm not wrong, full benefit will be postponed by one or two quarters at least, limiting the total synergies of €15 million you announced at the time of the IPO. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. I start by answering the first question on current trading, and then I give it to Francesco Tadepietro on the second question. In terms of current trading, we have received and we are receiving good orders for all our brands, and in particular for our core brands. Clearly, as I mentioned during the presentation, production in Italy in January has been impacted by the closure of our three Italian plants, which was done by the first 2 weeks, by the end of the first 2 weeks of the month. In addition to that, as everybody else in our industry, including all of our competitors, we are experiencing a slight shortage of Chinese production that, as I'm sure you know very well, we use for some of our own brands and some of our licensed brands. You know, this shortage is affecting everybody for two main reasons. The first one is that, from what they've told us, Chinese year-end was particularly celebrated this year, so less Chinese people went back to work on time as expected. And second, after the bankruptcy of Moulin Group, basically 15 million pieces completely disappeared from the market, and somebody else has to do those pieces. So particularly the high end of those pieces has an impact also on our providers in China. These aspects will have some negative impact on our sales performance in quarter one of this year, which is expected to be fully recovered in quarter two and quarter three. Also, please remind that the base of comparison for Q1 of last year is quite challenging. In fact, in the first 3 months of last year, as you well know, sales grew by 10% and operating income grew by 30%. I hope my answer is complete, and I'll give it over to Mr. Tagliapietro
on
the lean manufacturing.
Yes, in terms of possible delay of the effect of lean manufacturing, what we have decided at the beginning of this year to avoid to penalize too much the service of our customer was to make some important step in this project. An important step is to close the three factories and moving the people from these factories to the remaining file that we still have. But to avoid that this movement of people could have too much impact in terms of efficiency, we have decided to maintain, to keep the old system of working for all these people. So that means that we expect that some delays with this level of production, we could have some delays this year. We expect also in any case to be able during the second quarter to implement the activities of changing type of work that at the beginning we expected to make during the month of January and February.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Luca Cipiccia from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Yes, I have two questions. The first is if you could please quantify the impact of the Burberry license in the fourth quarter on the gross margin. And the second is more general in terms of the outlook, A, on whether you could give some more visibility regarding the new licenses you might be negotiating in terms of what type of brands, whether it regards existing licenses with other companies rather than brands to make eyewear for the first time with you, and if you could give some visibility on this, and also if you could give some quantification of your top line and earnings guidance for 2006 as things are today, of course, with the loss of Ralph Lauren, assuming that that in the short term is not replaced.
So, I start answering to the question related to Burberry. The extraordinary cost that we accrued during the year-end, or we accrued or because we sold with a special discount in the last quarter some Burberry items, could be estimated in the range of 3.5-4 million euros.
Then in terms of outlook for new license agreement, I think that I've learned the hard way, Luca, the fact that the less we say about license agreement, the better it is, and I think we have been penalized already too much by everybody about this subject, because our intent was always to be extremely clear, and it says we have been misunderstood too many times. With that said, I like to reiterate the fact that we are having discussions with a number of counterparties in terms of having new license agreements, in terms of having new brands on existing sub-brands, on existing license agreements, and again, we're also entertaining discussions with Max Mara and Saks Fifth Avenue to renew the current license agreement, which will be expiring in the next few months. I prefer to first sign the agreement and then tell you that I've signed instead of making comments at the moment. You were asking about outlook for revenues and profitability. In terms of revenues, I think will be at year end slightly up about 5%. Compared to 2005, in terms of profitability, I think we will be between 180 and 185 million euro of EBITDA.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Daniele Benetto from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
My question was just answered. Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Laura Leonardelli, from UBS. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon. Just a clarification about the mentioned target, 5% sales growth and 185 million euros EBITDA. Are you including any acceleration of your organic growth for the other products in order to partly offset the loss of Polo Ralph Lauren, or you're not including that?
This estimation is based on the fact that we foresee to lose at least 40 million euros in terms of impact of Polo. So we expect, all considering, that this is the total level of revenues and profitability for the year. So 40 million euros less in terms of revenues and 10-12 million euros less in terms of extraordinary costs related to the Polo.
Okay, thank you. And another clarification about your debt strategy. I've understood exactly your slide on page 13. Are you saying that you're not calling the high-yield bond before the exercise date, right?
Yes, Laura, I'm saying that you know that it was a 10-year non-call 5?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that we will not call the high-yield bond before the call date, which is May 2008.
Okay.
Because the cost of that call is too high.
Right. And my last question is related to your shareholding structure, considering that Credit Suisse still holds approximately 10% stake in Safilo. Do you see any interest by Tabacchi's family on this stake after June, or what's your perception?
I mean, I don't know. I don't even know, Laura, to be honest, if Credit Suisse will be willing to sell their shareholding. Clearly, they are a private equity house, and they've made a private equity investment. The only thing I can do is I can talk for myself. I cannot talk for Credit Suisse. I cannot talk for Mr. Tabacchi and his family. On my side, as I mentioned before, I will invest €3.7 million into this company in June when that investment will become available.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ms. Francesca Di Pasquantonio from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a question on the Ralph Lauren impact on 2007, because you mentioned that you expect 10-12 million euro of extraordinary charges in 2006, but I was wondering whether you feel confident that all the impact of the discontinuing of the Ralph Lauren could be controlled and attributed to 2006, or if there are any areas where there could be some also impact in 2007, maybe on inventories or grey market sales or something like that.
Yes, concerning that, our policy, when it's not happened so often in the past, but when we don't renew a license or we have some extraordinary situation as IPO, is to make all necessary accruals in the years in which that happened. That means that both for Burberry in 2005 and the same will be in for Polo in 2006, at the year end, we will make all the necessary accruals that we will estimate can have effect from the loss of this license. The only potential impact in 2007 for the loss of Polo could be some less recovery in the fixed cost in our factories. But in terms of that, consider that the percentage of Polo made in our Italian factories, internal factories, was very, very little, so I don't expect to have this impact. And on top of that, with this request that we have in the market, not having another brand to be produced in our factories is not a problem. So, to answer shortly, no, I don't expect to have a negative impact from Polo in terms of profitability or one-off cost in 2007.
A follow-up question on this, on Polo, if I may. What are you experiencing in the U.S. market after you announced the expiry of the Ralph, the non-renewal of the Ralph Lauren contract? How has been the reaction of your wholesale customers?
Francesca, the reaction has been surprisingly good, in the sense that in terms of Polo, clearly they're saying, you know, we'd like to give you back some stuff because we want to see what Luxottica is going to be doing and all of that. But when I say surprisingly good, which have not translated yet into the results, so what they're telling us is, first of all, we think you, Safilo, did the right thing not to pay $200 million for a license, because license agreement should not be bought, should be gained through hard work and partnership. And second, you know, they're saying, we believe you can focus more on the core brands that you have, and certainly it will be difficult for us to concentrate a lot of buying into other counterparties which now have maybe a little bit too many brands. So, you know, that's what they are telling us. We'll see if that will be translated into sales, but the design of support that we are having from our customer is quite good. We're going to be in New York for Vision Expo this coming weekend, where we're going to meet a lot of customers, and we will be even more certain of their comments and their feelings after the Vision Expo, which will take place, as I said, during the weekend in New York.
The next question is from Mr. Domenico Gailotti from Euromobile RSA. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. My first question is just a check on your EBITDA target, if it is before or after the non-recurring costs you will incur for Polar and Florin in 06. And the other question is if you could provide us a guidance also in terms of cash generation, or if you could provide some guidance in terms of working capital trend and cash taxes.
Yes, in terms of guidance for this year, these 185 include the one-off cost for Polo. In terms of second question regarding cash flow, I would say that given this moment, an exact amount of cash generation for this year is too early, but what I can answer is that we are in plan and we believe that we will go ahead in this target of reducing the working capital, the percentage in working capital over the sales. As we have always said, we don't expect to improve year after year more than 50 basis points. And this is the target. Then again, we should be careful about the FX fluctuation, but because it has a huge impact.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Luca Cupiccia from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Just a question about a comment I've seen regarding the possibility of you looking into some retail opportunities in Asia. If you could clarify that, and also, as you mentioned, Moulin before, whether you know you could indicate if there's any asset in that group that could be of interest for you, given that I understand that we're getting a bit closer to what could be some liquidation of the assets that they have. Thank you.
Yes, I'll answer first to the second question. There was interest, but somebody else bought the Moulin asset. Actually, they bought the most interesting one, so I guess they're gone. I think it was a Chinese private equity.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question is regarding retail in Asia. Yes, I think the way Bloomberg reported what I said is a little aggressive, but having said that, what I've always said is that in certain emerging countries where we believe that there is a very important potential for growth, particularly if those countries are not well developed in terms of distribution, we are certainly interested in looking at retail opportunities. There will be small opportunities. We're talking about 20, 30, 40, maximum 50 stores type of retail chain, and that will have to do with the fact that we like to establish our presence there, representing the brands that we produce, instead of waiting for a long time for the distribution to evolve. So, you know, countries I'm referring to are specifically China, Russia, Eastern Europe. If some opportunities will come up and they will be interesting for us to establish our presence, yes, I confirm to you that we will seriously look into those opportunities.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Daniele Benetov from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. I just needed a couple of clarifications on your 2006 guidance. I'm sorry to go back to that again. You mentioned that the EBITDA does include the one-off expenses. I was wondering what it includes in terms of assumptions for new licenses. and in terms of Forex assumptions, and then just going down the P&L. I was wondering if the guidance that you gave originally at the time of the IPO for the tax rate should remain still the same.
Well, concerning the starting from the last question, the tax rate is confirmed, so we expect that for the following years in which the weight of the financial costs that have an impact in the IRAP in Italy will decline, we will achieve a normal tax rate that could be considered in the range of 38-40%, maximum 40% each year. In terms of guidance for this year, we don't consider positive impact coming from new licenses because this year we don't expect to recover in terms of sales from new licenses, because also Hugo Boss that will be launched in the market in October, we expect to collect orders from customers in mid-October, November, December, but in terms of really deliveries, probably we can have something the second half of December, but this amount will not have a real impact in our yearly figures. In terms of FX, we are in this moment we are speaking with the actual level of US dollar exchange rate, so 120. If obviously the US dollar will go to 130, 140, we could have an impact, even if based on 9 months or 6 months, this impact will not be huge.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Ms. Laura Leonardelli from UBS. Please go ahead, madam.
Good afternoon. I have a follow-up question on your debt position, in particular in terms of financial charges. Considering the sharp decline you expect in the second part of 2006 in terms of average cost of debt, do you have a number in your mind as financial charges for full year 2006?
Well, starting from the total cost, excluding the cost that we had in 2005 coming from the FX effect, we have had 69 million euros in terms of total total cost, if I remember. We expect that we should reduce for the reduction of debt, we should reduce at least 25 million euros of interest charges. On top of that, consider for the remaining part of the debt at least 100-120 basis points on the remaining debt.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Ms. Francesca Di Pasquantonio from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, actually I have one remaining follow-up question. I know it's very difficult answer to give, but what time frame would you expect to be able to announce new agreements? I mean, are we talking sometimes in the first half, sometimes in 2006? Thank you.
Again, you said it right, Francesca, and we know each other by now a little bit, I would say almost well. It's difficult to answer because whatever you answer will always be misunderstood. So, and you know, having the stock trading this way, which I totally disagree, as you know, in terms of value, makes it even more difficult. Having said that, I'd like to try to give you the answer. I think that the announcement in terms of renewal will take another 1.5 to 2 months in terms of renewal, probably something like that, so before the end of the first half. And then I hope in terms of a new license to be able to announce some before year end. So
That's what I believe.
The next question is from Mr. Stefano Cornegnani from Intermonte SIM, excuse me.
Hi, I have two follow-up questions. The first one is about the interest rate reduction expected on your senior loan facility. What kind of, and it's in particular on the kind of assumption you have while projecting the cost of debt to decline to 6.5% in the second half of 2006 versus the actual 7.4%. Just to understand if the Euribor rates were included stable, constant, or according to the most recent moves. And the second...
Sorry, we had a bad connection.
Sorry.
I think I understood...
Could be my voice.
Okay. Just to be very clear, think I understood the first question. The question is, what will be the... spread reduction in terms of the loan that we have in place? Is that the first question?
Yeah, it's about the, you mentioned your cost of debt should decline from 7.4% current to 6.5%.
Yeah.
I was asking just if these are to Apple with Apple numbers that include the same kind of Euribor or... the increase in Euribor we've seen since the beginning of the year. And the second question, I'm really sorry Mr. Tabacchi didn't take part to the conference call, but I'm very curious to understand how he feels about the stock price and the fact that after the lock-up expiration, Safilo will be a contendable company.
In terms of the first question, yes, the 7.4 compared to the 6.5, as you mentioned, to compare Apple with Apple, is keep in mind, considering the same Euribor level, taking into consideration clearly the fact that here, more than absolute terms, we look at reduction of spread. Before, we were a very leveraged company. And so spreads, as I mentioned, we're at 225 to 325 basis points. We think that we want to substantially reduce those spreads. In terms of Mr. Tabacchi, I said already, and you know, I think Mr. Tabacchi will participate to the portion of our roadshow when we're going to be in Milan on April 11th, okay? And so without be willing to speak for him, I think that anybody can understand how he feels about the stock price that is going down. I don't think it's too difficult to understand that he doesn't like it. Clearly he's very confident on his company, on Safilo, and therefore he's confident that the price will sooner or later start to go up again. What he wants us to do is to focus, as we are trying to do, on the business in order to deliver results so that investors and everybody else, sorry, in the financial community will appreciate our work and the price will go up. In terms of the last thing you said, again, also here, among the other misunderstandings, there was a huge misunderstanding. The company... is, as you said, contendable, I think you used this word. Already now, there is no shareholder agreement. Credit Suisse has nothing to do anymore with Mr. Tabacchi. They have 9.5% of the company because that's what they remain with, but there is no shareholder agreement of any sort with anybody. So Mr. Tabacchi has 37%. Credit Suisse has 9.5. Other big investment funds have a big stake into this company, but you know the company can be bought in the stock exchange if anybody is willing to buy it. It doesn't seem like it from the trend of the price. Seems more that people want to sell this company, but we'll see in the future. But just to be very clear, there is no shareholder agreement among any of the shareholders of this company.
Thank you.
Mr. Vedovolta, gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much, Sherry, and thank you to all participants in this call. We hope we have given you some ideas and some answers to your question. And please don't hesitate to get in contact with us if you have any other question or clarification. Again, thank you very much, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.